हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्य प्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So, now we have that, you know, Arjuna is in the heavenly planets. Dhritarashtra is lamenting that he's heard now that Arjuna is in the heavenly planets, getting all these celestial weapons and all that, and, you know, but we'll do nothing about it. So then now it brings us back to what's happening with Yudhishthira and his brothers and Draupadi. After Arjuna had left for the Himalayas, his brothers and Draupadi continued to live in the Kamyaka. They missed him sorely, and they had no idea how long he might be away or whether or not he would ever return. Because you don't know, he goes there, it may take so long that by the time he does accomplish, you know, it's already too late or this and that. But they knew they would only be successful in their fight to regain the kingdom with Arjuna's assistance. Thus, they prayed for a safe passage through the mountains and for a success in gaining the celestial weapons. Yudhishthira felt especially anguished. Bhima would frequently remind him of the gambling match. Bhima, that's his move. So he's naturally going to remind him of these things because it bothers him so much. And as a Kshatriya, for Kshatriyas to forgive is very rare. It's not a standard thing. If they can, that's very, very special. But if they can't, then no one will be surprised. You know, and Arjuna thinks of it, it's wrong. But Yudhishthira is such that it's wrong, but, you know, if his superiors desired it, he could forgive. If it's a righteous thing to do, he would. But Bhima, you know, he wants to make sure that things are going to be, you know, correct. Because his point is, Yudhishthira should sit on the throne. Since the purpose of Kshatriyas is to protect the populace, then Duryodhana is not about the populace, it's just about being in the seat. He'll do his basic duties, but he couldn't care less about the people at all, as persons. He doesn't care. He just cares about that he's the king. And if he has to do certain things to please the people so they don't bother him, he'll do that. You know, he's like that. But Yudhishthira, he actually cares for the people. That mighty Pandava wanted only to take up arms and chastise the Kauravas. Despite his brother's counsel, he could not see the point of acting honorably towards dishonorable persons, right? So here is that, because he's looking at it, they're dishonorable, we don't need to be dishonorable, honorable in dealing with them, because they take advantage. But Yudhishthira's point is that, no, we were dealing with the elders, and so therefore we made our promises, we're keeping that. So he's not even considering Duryodhana. Duryodhana is a rat bag, that's all. It's not appropriate like that. Nor could he see how they would ever gain success by peaceful means, right? That's also, Yudhishthira knows there's going to be a fight. So it's not that it will be gained by peaceful means. You know, we'll see as a matter of course, it's tried later after they come back from the forest. But, you know, it will be war. As soon as we leave the forest, Bhima said one day to Yudhishthira, the sinful Shakuni will immediately challenge you to another game of dice. You will not refuse, although you are unskilled at the game. Surely you will lose your senses, and we will again be consigned to the forest. O great prince, simply command me, and I shall destroy Duryodhana right now, even as fire consumes a pile of grass. He's not even saying a pile of wood, but grass. Grass means you light the fire, like that, it's gone. So just like that, he'll just go in, they'll be gone. One stroke, you know, one for each. One swing, Duryodhana, that one's Shakuni, that one's Dushasana, that one's Karna, finished. Anyone else? Next, you know. So he's saying is that this is what will happen. So therefore, just command me, I'll take care of it, since you won't be able to take care of it. He's not deriding in the way of, he's just saying is, you're challenged, you have to accept the challenge, but you're not good at dice. So since you're going to be, so let me kill them before they challenge you to dice again. Yudhishthira consoled his brother. He never allowed himself to become angered by his words, which he knew were spoken out of affection. right? Because Bhima wants to see Yudhishthira in the thing. He's not saying, "Oh, you won't do it, then I'll do it. I'll go kill him. I'll sit on the throne." No, it's a matter of it's out of affection. Bhima wanted nothing more to see his elder brother as emperor of the world, because there's no one more qualified. He is the perfection. Right? As the Pandavas discussed, the Rishi Vridhashva approached them. He emerged from the woods as the sun comes out from behind a dark cloud. The brothers immediately bowed before him and offered him a seat, argya, and other items. The sage was clad in deerskin and had matted hair. Yudhishthira folded his hands and said, "Almighty One, due to the nefarious schemes of evil-minded gamblers, I have been deprived of my wealth and kingdom. Now my brothers are suffering and my wife has been humiliated. We are all exiled." Like, so see how exactly he says. He says everything very nicely, but he's just stating the facts nicely, or, you know, without those, you know, all the emotional elements that are there. He just presents it because he's a sage. Sages are detached, so he presents it in that way. You know, we see when the Kshatriyas came, with Krishna and everyone, then they spoke, yeah, like this, in that Veera mood. But now you're sages. It has to be, the clarity is the thing to use. It's peacefulness. "We are all exiled. My mind burns both with the remembrance of my enemies, cruel words, and my own foolishness," right? Because he feels, you know, he shouldn't have been overpowered like that. "And I feel sorry to think of my relatives and subjects," right? Because now the other relatives are going to be missing them, and the subjects, they're not going to be maintained by someone proper. "Now I have been deprived of Arjuna's company, who is dearer to me than life. I remain awake whole nights feeling his absence. Have you ever heard of any king or prince more unfortunate than myself?" Brihadashva replied that he knew the history of an ancient king who had ruled the Nishada tribes people, right? Because he's saying, is there anyone else like it was in a position like me? And he says, "Yes, I know of one." He too had been defeated at dice by his brother and had exiled to the forest with his wife. The king's name was Nala and his wife was called Damayanti. "This story," the sage said, "destroyed evil in people's minds and pacified their hearts." Yudhishthira requested him to please narrate the story in detail. Right. Yeah, so the same thing here. So he'll point out is that, but here he was even ended up without his wife. He lost everything and went to the forest with his wife, but even he lost that position with his wife. So the Pandavas are actually in a better position. Right? And they're surrounded by sages and everything, while Nala wasn't. It seemed that Nala and Damayanti's plight had been even worse than that of the Pandavas. After losing everything and being sent to the forest, the king and his wife had also been separated, and both had wandered alone for a long time before finally being reunited and regaining their kingdom. "You, on the other hand, O Yudhishthira, are here with your brothers and wife and are surrounded by Brahmins. Do not grieve. Men of your caliber always understand that material happiness and distress come and go according to destiny. It is beyond human exertion to change it." That means you can't change that there's going to be happiness and distress. You can perform your duties, and then the good results of those duties will come in the future. But we see, you know, in compared to Dhritarashtra, who wouldn't perform his duties, and then said, you know, that the bad result that's coming because of that, oh, it's fate, even though it's you know, it's coming from himself. The Rishi assured Yudhishthira that he could help him to never again fall victim to Shakuni. "I am acquainted with the science of dice, O virtuous hero, and I shall pass this knowledge unto you." Vriyadashva then taught Yudhishthira the skills of the game and took his leave. Right, so, I know, even as a sage, it doesn't mean that they don't know so many of the sciences. So what's the reason how it came about that Brihadashva knew the science of dice? But somehow or another he knew. And that they won't use it as a sage, but Yudhishthira being a king, then they can use it. And then he teaches them, and by knowing that, he'll never be defeated again. So the same thing happened also with Nala. He then learned from another king how dice worked, and that way then he was undefeated, because then when he got back, there was another gambling match. And then he won. The Pandavas passed their days discussing spiritual topics and the art of kingship and hearing the Brahmins recite from scripture. So their understanding of the scripture, their understanding of all these things, the fine points that are there, all more and more in their life, how to, so you're not going to get anyone more qualified than Yudhishthira to manage the kingdom. They also underwent a daily regime of physical training to keep themselves fit as warriors, right? So every day they would practice their exercise, as if they were in the palace, they would every day do, because the point is it's not that you sit around and get fat and then it's time to fight and like that. No, they always, every day, they're ready for a fight at any moment. They're ready to for their administration. They're ready to deal with court cases of injustice. They're ready for a fight, you know, diplomacy, everything, whatever is necessary. They're always there and always ready. So from this position, from this perspective, then they always maintain. So every day they're going to do the exercises. They're going to regularly, practice their archery and everything like that. And so, like this, then they'll be able to properly position themselves. Okay. They also underwent a daily regime of physical training to keep themselves fit as warriors. Draupadi cooked wild roots and vegetables gathered in the forest, then placed everything on the sun god's dish and offered the food to the Lord. From the inexhaustible plate, she fed the hundreds of sages, then her husbands, and after everyone else had eaten, she accepted her own meal. Right, because once she eats, then the plate will be empty. Besides the Brahmins who resided near the Pandavas, many traveling Brahmins stopped to see Yudhishthira. Right, so there's ones that always stayed with them, but there'd be other ones traveling through. They've heard they're either going through that way, they'll stop by and see, or they want to come and visit them and spend a little time. From them, Yudhishthira learned that Arjuna was performing severe asceticism in the Himalayas. The Pandavas and Draupadi felt pain to hear of it and prayed that he would soon achieve the goal of his mission and return. Right? Because they're living simply, but they're, you know, together, you know, they're eating regularly, you know, doing all the things that they have a regime that they follow every day. But he'll be doing austerities. That means he'll be fasting and all these different, living austerely on his own, nothing there. So they'll even feel bad that, you know, his situation is more difficult than they're in. One day, Yudhishthira saw the effulgent Rishi Narada standing before him. After the Pandavas had worshipped him, the sage offered his blessings and asked if there was anything he could do for them. Yudhishthira bowed before Narada and said he wished to travel to various pilgrimage sites. He asked Narada which sites would be most beneficial for them to visit. Narada told Yudhishthira of the many holy places he should visit with his brothers. He also asked Yudhishthira to request the rishis who were living with the Pandavas to accompany him. In this way, O king, you will receive great merit. The paths of the Tirthas I have described are infested with Rakshasas. Only you are capable to visit such holy places and thus enable these Brahmins to see them as well. Because so many Rakshasas live there because they live out in the forests and all these things, and many of the Tirthas are out in these places. So the Rakshasas are there, so regular sages and Brahmins don't go to these places, right? And they're not going to generally go to a place and to go there I have to kill the Rakshasas, so they won't go like that. If they're sitting in their place and a Rakshasa attacks them, of course, they'll chant their mantras, throw the blade of grass and kill the Rakshasa. But here then, the Pandavas, they can take care of all these Rakshasas. And that way then they'll get great merit from visiting the holy places. And all these great sages and Brahmins, they'll also get that opportunity. Narada assured Yudhishthira that by traveling to the holy places, the Pandavas would have the opportunity to meet such glorious rishis as Valmiki, Kasyapa, Atri, Vasishtha, Markandeya, and others. Soon the powerful sage Lomasha will come here. Go with him to the Tirthas, O king. In this way you will attain everlasting fame equal to that of the kings, a Mahavisha, Yayati, and Pururava, right? Because that was Pururava, the way back, the great, great personalities. So that was Pururavas, he was the one that Urvasi was married. You will destroy your enemies and recover all that is rightfully yours. Like Bhagirata, Mano, and even Lord Rama, you will rule the earth and shine among kings as the sun shines among the stars. Right? So when we see the king's sun shines among the stars, generally you see the moon shines among the stars because the moon is there and is greater and is brighter, but you can still see the stars. But when the sun is shining among the stars, you don't see the stars like that. He'll just stand out so greatly. Just after Narada departed, Lomasha Rishi arrived. The sage was radiant in his black deerskin, because the sages wear black deerskin. Right, the Kshatriyas, when they're in the forest, they're just going to wear a spotted deer, like that. So then you can see the difference. And he carried only a water pot. Receiving him with honor, the Pandavas sat around him and asked him to tell of his travels. Lomasha replied, "O heroes, while journeying throughout the worlds, I went to Amaravati, India's great city. There I saw the exalted king of the celestials, and to my astonishment, your brother Arjuna sharing his throne." Right, so they'll go there, they'll see Indra so many times, but how often do you see him sitting there with someone else, right? It's like that. Indra asked me to come to you and to assure you of Arjuna's welfare. Thus I have come with all speed. Indra asked him to come. So because he's asked him, so he's come very quickly. Because he could go here and there and stop. No, he just directly came. And they can travel at the speed of mind, so it'll be immediate. Indra asks them, and then he comes, he's there. Lomasha told the Pandavas how Arjuna had acquired the celestial weapons, including Shiva's famous weapon. He had also learned to sing and dance from the Gandharvas. He would be returning soon. Your brother asked me to lead you to the Tirthas so you might gain pious merits. Indra also made this request. And it's my desire as well. So he's coming down, giving them assurance of Arjuna and everything's going well, and to take them around to all the holy places. Because someone like him, Lomasha, he's mentioned in the Vedas and that. He's an ancient sage and all that, very, very well known. And so then he'll know all the holy places. He'll have been to these holy places. Indra also made this request, and it's my desire as well. Although I have already been to all the Tirthas twice, I shall go for a third time with you. Right? So he's been, so he knows them all nicely. And these sages, they don't forget. They go, "Was it this way, that way?" No, they don't have that problem. Yudhishthira and his brothers were overjoyed to hear of Arjuna's success. Yudhishthira said, "O exalted Brahmana, your words are like a shower of nectar. Who could be more fortunate than one who is remembered by the king of the celestials?" Right, so he's saying Yudhishthira is just saying how fortunate he is that Indra himself has asked Lomasha to come. Right? "Now, having you as our guide, our fortune is complete. Be pleased, O Rishi, to show us all the holy places." So then wherever he takes them, then they're going to go. Yudhishthira then addressed the Brahmanas who were staying with him. "O best of men, let those mendicants, Brahmins, and yogis who are incapable of bearing hunger, thirst, and fatigue of travel, and severe climate, desist from following me." Right, because now, before they're sitting in the forest, then it's there. But those who are going to have trouble with all this, then he says, you stay here. Or wherever you like to go. And those, because, they'll come back to the place. But at least now we're going out of pilgrimage. Yudhishthira knew that the journey to the Tirthas would be difficult. He did not want to expose the Brahmins to unnecessary suffering. He continued, "All those desiring regular meals and cooked food should stay back. You may now go to King Dhritarashtra for your maintenance. The king of the Panchalas will also provide for you." You can either go to Dhritarashtra, because he's the king and that and the emperor, so he's supposed to take care of the sages. Or if you're not inclined to go there, you can go to Drupad's, their father-in-law. He'll surely take care. You just say Yudhishthira sent, so the son-in-law sent. "With your permission, we shall now depart." Sorrowfully, a number of Brahmins took their lead and traveled towards Hastinapur. Only a few hundred ascetic Brahmins remained to travel with Lomasha, Domya, and the Pandavas. Only a few hundred, right? So many others left like that. They chose a day to begin their pilgrimage that was marked by favorable constellations. Then, before leaving, the brothers put on armor over their deerskins and bark garments. They took up their weapons with the expectation of meeting Rakshasas. As they began their journey, Yudhishthira said to Lomasha, "O foremost of celestial rishis, do not think I am without religious merit, but still I am afflicted with sorrow. On the other hand, I see that my enemies lack all merit, yet they prosper. How can such apparent contradictions exist?" Right, so then Lomasha's answer to this we'll hear in the next discussion. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.